Guided by his example, we walk the righteous path. In the footsteps of the prophet with faith and steadfast. In the footsteps of the prophet with faith and steadfast.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome back to another episode of our series In the Footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam. Yes, inshallah azza wa jal, we shall be hearing about the life, the biography, the seerah of the noble messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam. But before that, of course, there are many blessings and virtues in sending salawat upon the greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and our minds, the most generous and kind, the last and final prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wasallam. The noble messenger sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wasallam has stated, من صلى علي صلاة واحدة صلى الله عليه عشرة. That he who recites salat upon the noble messenger صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم once, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall bestow 10 blessings upon that person. Subhanallah. Undoubtedly, there are numerous blessings and benefits one attains by sending salawat upon the messenger of Allah صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. You should make a regular habit of yours to recite salawat upon Rasulullah صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم in abundance. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. My dear viewers of Madani channel, in this series, In the Footsteps of the Prophet صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم, we hear about the life step by step as much as we can cover. We can say as much as we can cover. MashaAllah, we learn about the blessed life of the greatest sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. Previously we heard that when they had migrated, they had entered, they had arrived at Al-Madinat Al-Munawwara, what had happened, many of the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they became ill. Yes, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stayed at the house of Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and many of the companions became ill. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu became ill. Sayyidina Bilal radhiyallahu anhu became ill. And Sayyidina Aisha radhiyallahu anha, she went to visit her father when her father became ill. So many of the companions radhiyallahu ta'ala anhum, they became ill. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he protected his messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And we also heard that the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made quite a few du'as for the blessed city of Al-Madinat Al-Munawwara, previously known as Yathrib. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made du'a and he says, Ya Allah, send its disease, send the illness of this place, send it to Juhfa, a place which some have stated about 80 or so kilometers from Makkah al-Mukarrama, wallahu ta'ala alam. And this dua of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was no doubt accepted. Yes, it was accepted in so many ways. Also the dua, Allahumma habib ilayna al-Madina ka hubbina Makkah aw ashad. Ya Allah, make al-Madinat al-Munawwara more beloved to us than Makkah al-Mukarrama. Ya Allah, make it as beloved as Makkah al-Mukarrama, or even more beloved to us than Makkah al-Mukarrama. And no doubt, the dua of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is always accepted. No doubt. And is accepted to such an extent that not only did the scholars say that a plague as a whole could never enter Al-Madinat al-Munawwara. So the scholars about this, what they have stated is that, okay, it is possible for somebody to fall ill in Al-Madinat al-Munawwara, but a proper plague and the full effect of a plague can never enter Al-Madinat al-Munawwara. That is, anything which takes the life of people. So this is all that will be or that remains in Al-Madinatul Munawwara, but complete harmful diseases and plagues, this Al-Madinatul Munawwara has been freed from. So much so that some of the scholars stated that if you were to place your hands on the earth of Al-Madinatul Munawwara and wipe your face, inshallah azzurrah, you shall be given shifa. There is shifa within the dust, within the air of Al-Madinatul Munawwara. And subhanAllah, the dua, the love that the companions, that the people have for Al-Madinatul Munawwara, that is an entire topic of its own. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, he would do dua, he will say, Allahumma rizqni shahadatan fi sabilik. This is beautiful. He would say, Allahumma rizqni shahadatan fi sabilik waj'al mawti fi baladi rasulik. He says, Ya Allah, grant me shahada, grant me martyrdom in the city of your messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma rizqni shahadatan fi sabilik. Ya Allah, grant me martyrdom in your path. Ya Allah, grant me martyrdom in your path. And also, waj'al mawti, and make my death be where? In Al-Madinatul Munawwara. He used to do dua to pass away in Al-Madinatul Munawwara. No doubt this is due to the hadith sharif of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he states, من استطاع أن يموت بالمدينة فليموت بها فإني أشفع لمن يموت بها. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam states that من استطاع منكم, that whosoever from amongst you is able to pass away in Al-Madinatul Munawwara, then فَلْيَمُتْ بِهَا, then he should pass away in Al-Madinah. If he can, try and pass away in Al-Madinatul Munawwara. Why? فَإِنِّي أَشْفَعُ, for indeed I shall intercede for that person who passes away in Al-Madinatul Munawwara. Allahu Akbar. And say that Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, doing this dua, no doubt the second Khalifa of Islam radiallahu anhu, imagine his dua, how is it that he passes away? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, when he passed away, he was attacked. He was attacked by a person by the name of Lu'lu, Abu Lu'lu Feroz. And while Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was leading a prayer, he penetrated and he stabbed Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu a number of times, which later led to the passing away of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. So this was the love the companions developed for the beautiful city of Al-Madinatul Munawwara. Yes, there's a famous story of Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu leaving, but that was because this was after the apparent passing away of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it was because, of course, yes, there's that great love and affection for Al-Madinatul Munawwara, but the love for Rasulullah ﷺ was even more, and Rasulullah ﷺ had left the world, and so he couldn't bear to remain in this beautiful city without the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, without him being able to see the Messenger of Allah ﷺ. Regularly or as he used to previously. So otherwise people would never leave. People don't wish, even nowadays you think, I remember when subhanAllah once I was blessed to visit, there was just a random person say, oh yes, Al-Madinah is next level. SubhanAllah, no doubt it is. My dear viewers of the channel, subhanAllah, continuing on the seerah, the biography of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the next very, very important event and so many lessons to learn from this event is what? The building of Masjid al-Nabawi, the Masjid of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, when he came to Al-Madinatul Munawwara, he came across a land which is known as Mirbad, which the Arabs would call Mirbad, a place where date palms, etc., where dates are left dry. This is what Mirbad means. So this Mirbad, or this particular garden, which was to an extent owned by the Banu Najjar. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, there's this land and I wish to purchase it. And the Banu Najjar, they reply that we do not wish for no money from you, but we only ask for reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, this land, those individuals who own this land, who were they? There were two orphans. One went by the name of Sahal and another by the name of Suhail, radhiyallahu anhuma. These two orphans were the owners of this land. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked, you know, who exactly owns this land? And he found out that there were these two orphans, and he calls him. And they come to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asks them. And he says that, you know, give me, let's negotiate a price. And they state that, you know, Ya Rasulullah, we gift it to you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no, but I wish, you know, for it to be paid. And then they sell this land to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the scholars state that either they used to be orphans and later they were no longer orphans, and that's when they bought the land. But they were famously known as orphans. And this is why the word orphan is used, although technically orphan is used for children. Yes, but no, they had reached puberty, and then that land was purchased. And guess who purchased it? This land was purchased for 10 dinar by Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It said when Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he accepted Islam, he possessed 40,000 dinar. So the Masjid al-Nabawi, which we have right now to an extent, to a sense we can say, I will speak in more detail, but to a sense we can say, who was it that purchased that land? Of course it is waqf, it's not owned by any individual. But it was purchased by Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Allahu Akbar. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he bought it from those orphans who later they became adults. Or some of the scholars say that he bought it from their guardian who was in charge. Yes. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he bought this for 10 dinar. Now, there are various narrations mentioned. Some have stated that it wasn't, some have said that yes, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu purchased this. Some others have stated that Sayyidina As'ad ibn Zarara, he said to the children that he will compensate them. Some have stated that Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu has stated that he will compensate them. Some have stated that Sayyidina ibn Afra radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Mu'adh ibn Afra radiallahu anhu, said that he will compensate them. So Alama Shami rahimahullah ta'ala, he reconciles all of this. And he says that in reality, there were two plots of lands that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam purchased. There were two plots of lands. Each plot, both of them, were initially owned by Sayyidina Sahal and Sayyidina Suhail radiallahu anhuma. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam purchased them both, and each was for 10 dinar. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, with his own money, purchased both of them. He purchased both of them with his own money. And then how about Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu? There's a narration mentioned that he did this. And the scholars, in order to reconcile this, state that Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, he was the person who was negotiating. So in a way you can say that Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu had purchased it, meaning because he was the one who was actually doing the negotiating, because it was from the Banu Najjar, yes, and he was the one who made the deal, you can say, and in this way he was the one that purchased it. And others say that what happened was Sayyidina Mu'adh and Sayyidina As'ad, that they negotiated one each. They negotiated one each, and so it's mentioned that they played a part in purchasing it too. And this way, the scholars reconcile that, this way you can say all of them had purchased it. However, the one giving the money in particular was Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. One question which arises from this, and this is quite beautiful, is that when Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was in Makkah al-Mukarramah, and the hijrah was to take place, before the hijrah, when he prepared two camels, and he says to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, Ya Rasulullah, here, this is a gift for you. However, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replies and says, not only with its price. The Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, only with its price. Meaning, I'm not going to accept it, I will pay for it. However, when it came to the purchasing of this land, which was in future to be Masjid al-Nabawi, yes, the Masjid, for this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he instructs Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu to pay. Of course, it was his choice, and he wished this was his desire to pay for it. And he says, okay, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu can pay for it. So why was it at that time he rejected it, or he did not accept to take it for free? Or he did not accept for Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq to take the burden of the expense all upon himself. However, when it came to purchasing the land of Al-Masjid al-Nabawi, that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq paid for it. Why did Rasulullah allow this? And the scholars have stated, you know, there are of course many lessons to be taken from this. And the scholars have stated that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was a personal act for him. The hijrah, just the way many of the other companions, they migrated, and this was no doubt a form of worship for them, wasn't it? It was wajib to an extent to migrate for many of the companions. And now, this was a personal act of worship for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this was personal for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not wish for somebody else to take the burden of, or to pay for, you know, something he would personally benefit from by mounting that camel and traveling to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, which is beautiful, which teaches us that we shouldn't take personal benefit from the religion. We should try to, of course, in some cases it is permissible. But we should try to benefit less for ourselves and try to benefit the deen even more. Yes, we should try to take personal benefit less and benefit others. No doubt this is also a benefit of the akhirah. There's no doubt about it. But we should try to benefit others rather than trying to attain benefit of ourselves for the religion. Inshallah azza wa jalla. So the companions, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's building this. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with his very own hands, is stated in various ahadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he himself took part in building the masjid. Many of the other companions joined too. This is Sayyidina Ammar radhiyallahu anhu, Sayyidina Ammar bin Yasir radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He is stated about him that the rest of the companions would carry one brick, and Sayyidina Ammar bin Yasir radhiyallahu anhu, he would carry two bricks. Allahu Akbar. Which teaches us that we can suffer to attain more reward. And this is a sunnah of, well, not only the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but also the companions. Sayyidina Ammar bin Yasir radhiyallahu anhu, he was being affected by this himself, but yet he wished to attain more reward. And Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's various narrations how he wiped the dust off the head of Sayyidina Ammar radhiyallahu anhu. This is when he made a beautiful prophecy. And he says that, O Ammar radhiyallahu anhu, the last thing you shall have to drink is milk. Allahu Akbar. That the last thing that you will receive in the world is what? Is a drink of milk. And that's exactly what happened. He drank milk before he had passed away, radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he recited some beautiful verses. Can he call it poetry? This is another question. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it was composed. So the scholars state, did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam speak poetry? There are some ash'ar mentioned. However, like people like Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he mentioned any poetry, it was that which was composed by somebody else. He himself never composed poetry, but sometimes he would recite some. For example, Allahumma, at this moment whilst he was laying the bricks of Masjid al-Nabawi, Allahumma innal ajra ajra al-akhirah. He says, Ya Allah, indeed, no doubt, the reward, the true reward is the reward of the akhirah. Farhamil ansar wal muhajira. Ya Allah, shower mercy upon the ansar, the helpers, the al-ansar, as well as the muhajirun. Another lesson we can take from this is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would suffer this hardship himself. He would take part himself as a leader. He was a perfect leader. He was a brilliant leader. A leader must do things himself for other people to follow him, rather than just to instruct one person and another person and a third person. So many of the companions, they had joined in. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless each and every single companion. Many companions are all different in their own way, subhanallah. But they all took part, or most of them, wallahu alam, they took part in building the Masjid al-Nabawi. The Masjid al-Nabawi, since we only have a minute or so left, my dear viewers, inshallah azza wa jal, about al-Masjid al-Nabawi, about how it was built in the square structure, 100 cubits or so, some state 60 cubits, more on this, inshallah azza wa jal, we shall speak about in the future. Today we have learned that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he builds a mosque. One beautiful thing is, remember, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as of yet he has not built his own house, but yet he has built the masjid. More on this next time, inshallah, azzurrah. Join us another day for more of In the Footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Guided by his example, we walk the righteous path. In the footsteps of the Prophet with faith and steadfast. In the footsteps of the Prophet with faith and steadfast.